And then, if you will, please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. I'm just going to take one verse from this chapter as the text of our lesson. Now, that doesn't mean we won't be covering more Bible verses, of course, but just this one verse is the text of the lesson. Before we read that verse, the context, Hebrews 11 is the great chapter on faith. It's the greatest chapter in the Bible on the subject of faith. It's sometimes called the roll call of the faithful, sometimes called the hall of faith. But in Hebrews chapter 11, the inspired writer begins by defining what saving faith is. And then, rather than giving a philosophical discussion of the nature of saving faith, he just gives us example after example of the great patriarchs and matriarchs of old who were saved by faith, who lived by faith, and who died in faith. And in this list, and this is not the only time that Isaac is mentioned, but in this list is a mention of Isaac that is very brief, and yet I believe there's some great lessons to be learned from this. And it's kind of an enigma. It's kind of something that is difficult to understand, is the statement that is made when we read the Old Testament background. Concerning Isaac, the inspired writer says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." Well, let me just say a few things, background concerning Isaac. Isaac, of course, the son of promise, the son that was born to Abraham and Sarah by the promise of God, rather than the one who was born of the flesh, Ishmael, who was born of the slave woman Hagar. There's not as much in the book of Genesis about Isaac as there is about his father Abraham or his son Jacob. And most of what we read about Isaac, he seems to be a rather passive character. It's not things that Isaac did, but things that were done to Isaac or for Isaac. First of all, of course, much of what is said is he is the son of promise. His name means laughter, and there's a long background on that as far as the reason that his name was called laughter. But at any rate, then when we read about Isaac in Genesis chapter 24, or let's go back to Genesis chapter 22 before that, he's one of the characters in one of the great stories of the Bible, how Abraham was willing to offer up his only begotten son as a sacrifice because God commanded him to do that. So there's no greater story in all the Bible on active, obedient faith than Genesis chapter 22. But Isaac is wholly passive in that. He's the sacrifice. He's the one that Abraham took with him. Now, I've always been amazed in reading that, how submissive Isaac was to his father. And so that should be considered a great amount of faith also. But nothing is said about that from Isaac's standpoint of the faith. What is said about that event is the faith of Abraham in being willing to offer his only begotten son, as recorded in Genesis chapter 22. Then in Genesis, but the point is, Isaac was wholly passive in that, if submissive, but nonetheless passive. And then you go to Genesis chapter 24, it's time for Isaac to get married. And Isaac doesn't do a thing about it. You read Genesis chapter 24, he's wholly passive in this. He doesn't go find a bride and propose to her and offer her a wedding ring, as would be the thing to be done normally in our society today. But Abraham called to himself his servant who was over his house, the oldest servant in his house, and he said, "My son Isaac," now I'm paraphrasing of course, "my son Isaac needs a wife, and he's not to have a wife from the land. I want you to go back to my family in Padan Aram, in Mesopotamia, and find a wife from him there of the daughters of Bethuel." So the servant went back and found a wife, and the great story there about finding that wife for Isaac. Rebecca and brought her to be his bride, and she came into the tent, and they were husband and wife. And Isaac didn't do a thing. Just waited there as Abraham and Abraham's servant took care of everything for him. Now, Rebecca was active. She agreed to go, but not Isaac. He was just passive in all of this. Again, perhaps submissive, but it was passive. And nothing against Isaac. He just doesn't seem to be a man of action. Until we come down to what is stated in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, and what is recorded in Genesis chapter 27. And that is when Isaac blesses his twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Notice Jacob is listed first. And the reason is because Jacob received the promise and the birthright. But Esau is the elder. They're twins, but Esau is the elder of the twins. And yet, and here's what becomes, it's just kind of a, try to get our minds around this. What Isaac did was in rebellion against what God had said to Rebekah concerning the twins. He was going to give the blessing to Esau, but God had plainly said when the twins were still in the womb of Rebekah that the elder would say, two nations would come from her womb, two peoples, two nations. And so he's not talking about the boys personally. He's talking about the nations that came from them. The Edomites came from Esau. And the Israelites came from Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And so there are going to be two peoples, two nations that will come from these twins that are in your womb. And the elder shall serve the younger. The older twins, going. Now this is the nations that come from them. The older twins, the nation from him is going to serve the nation that comes from the younger twin. Now that's a plain statement from the Lord that was made to Rebekah while still the twins were unborn. And when Isaac gets ready to give the blessing that is bringing down the blessing of Abraham, this is shown in Genesis chapter 28, it's the blessing that God gave to Abraham, that he's passing on to one of his sons. He didn't want to give that blessing to Jacob, whom God said would receive the blessing. He was wanting to give that blessing to Esau, whom God said to Rebekah would serve the younger. How is this an example of faith? Well, I don't remember if we've studied about the faith of Sarah here before. I think we have. But it's very parallel, I believe, to the faith that Sarah had. If Sarah had to learn to believe, it took her a long time. And sometimes we're that way. It takes us a long time to learn just to take God at His Word and to accept what He says regardless of what we want or regardless of what we think. And Sarah was that way, the mother of Isaac. And apparently Isaac took after his mother in that regard, that he was slow apparently to come to the faith that he needed to have in order to do what he should do in the blessing. But still, the inspired writer of the Hebrew letters gives him and his blessing that is found in Genesis chapter 27 as an example of saving faith. So we want to see, and that's what this lesson will be about. And I'm going to tell the story, and you can read it for yourself, but I'm just going to tell the story for sake of time as is recorded in Genesis chapter 25 and Genesis chapter 27 and then a little bit in Genesis chapter 28. But you will have, and you should have the outline there. You can see the passages, and you can read that yourself. I'll briefly tell the story, and then I want to see some lessons that I believe can properly be drawn from New Testament passages that would parallel to this. All right. So as we study the faith of Isaac, first of all, Isaac did show faith. Now, Isaac was 40 years old when he and Rebekah married. And they went 20 years with no children. And Isaac did the right thing. Now, by the way, when you think the important, it's always sad when a couple is childless, have no children, and that leaves an emptiness in a family where there's no children. But so that's a sad thing. But it's more than just sad concerning Isaac and Rebekah, because Isaac was the one through whom the Abrahamic promise was to go, and he had to have a son in order for that Abrahamic promise to be passed on. And of course, not only that Abrahamic promise, a matter of the nation of Israel. and the nation of Israel inheriting the land of Canaan. But much, much more important than that, it was through Abraham all the nations of the earth would be blessed, and that's the promise of the Christ who was come as the seed of Abraham. And so Isaac needed to have a son, so the promise of Abraham could be passed on to the next generation, and eventually the Savior could come into the world and to save the world from their sins. So it's really important. And I don't know how much Isaac realized all that. It's not revealed, so I'm not going to speculate. But nonetheless, Isaac definitely wanted to have a child. And so he prayed to God. He pleaded, the Scripture says, and I like that. He pleaded to God for his wife Rebecca, who was barren, that she would be able to bear. And sure enough, she conceived, and there were twins in her womb. And she was concerned about what was going on, and I guess only a woman could fully appreciate what Rebecca is saying, because the twins were struggling in her womb with one another, which, by the way, was a precursor of things that were to come. And she says, if all is well, why is it so with me? And she wanted to know what's going on, but nonetheless, Isaac prayed, and the Lord heeded his prayer, and Rebekah was with child. And then while Rebekah was with child, she wanted to know to the Lord, why is this going on if all is well? And the Lord revealed to her, there's two, you've got twins, is what he's saying. And those, from those twins will come two nations, two peoples. And the elder shall serve the younger. So God plainly revealed to Rebekah, and I find it impossible to accept that Isaac didn't know that God had, because this has to do with Abrahamic promise, and they're keeping, passing down through the next generation, the fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise. And so God has plainly revealed to Rebekah that the younger is the one who received the promise. He's the one who's going to rule. Now, not personally, but the nation. Jacob never ruled Esau personally. Jacob was scared to death of Esau. And he had good cause to be scared to death of Esau. He brought it on himself. But nonetheless, he never personally ruled Esau, but the nation of Israel ruled the nation of Edom. And that's what the promise is about. It's about the passing on into nations of the promise that God gave to Abraham. And so Jacob, the younger, is to be the one that received the blessing. This was plainly revealed. But, by the way, when the two were born, I don't know if I have a pass, yeah. When the two were born, Esau the first was hairy all over, and he was redheaded. But the name that was given to him is, it was hairy like a hairy garment. That was a hairy child from the time that he was born. And so he was given the name Hairy. That's what the name Esau means. He's a hairy fella, so his name is Hairy. And I don't mean H-A-R-R-Y Hairy, I mean H-E-I-R-Y Hairy. And as they were being born, Jacob reached out and grabbed the heel of Esau. Well, people put significance on things. And so he was named Jacob, which literally, you look this up, I can't help but see the humor in both of these names. It literally means heel grabber. But what it was meant was a supplanter, one who takes the place of another. And of course, that's what Jacob did, because Esau the elder, from custom, would receive the birthright and the blessing from the father that went with the birthright. But he wasn't to receive that. God had already told Rebekah that very plainly. And as they got to be older, Esau turned out to be what the Hebrew writer calls a profane man. That is, he did not place the proper respect and emphasis on spiritual things. He did not think of spiritual things. He thought of carnal, of fleshly things. But he became a hunter. And he was a man of the field. He was a man's man. And he was the kind of man that every country father in Arkansas would be proud to have. He could go out and he could bring down a deer, and he could clean that deer, and he could prepare that meat, and he could bring it and set before his father savory food. I can't help but think it was pulled pork, but actually it wasn't. But nonetheless, you understand that was a joke. Nonetheless, He could bring to his father that game that his father loved to eat, and it was prepared in such a way, it had to have been Southern barbecue, don't you think? But nonetheless, he could bring that in and set it before his father, and his father delighted to eat of that. And so his father, and by the way, there's a great example here of don't play favorites with your children. Okay, for you parents, don't play favorites with your children. And so Isaac loved Esau because he was a man of the field, he was a hunter, and he got to eat of his game. But Jacob was a homeboy. Jacob liked to stay at home in the tent and be around his mother. He was a mama's boy. And he was a smooth-skinned boy. And so his mother loved him. And so they had favorites. His mother's favorite was Jacob. And his father's favorite. And can't you just see that in families today? And it's all wrong. It should not be that way. But nonetheless, you can just see that in families today. It's a great lesson for parents. But nonetheless, God had already said that the younger is to rule the elder. Don't forget that. Then one day when they were grown, Esau comes in from hunting and he is just famished. He is absolutely starving to death. He doesn't have time to prepare that game. He thinks he's just going to faint from hunger. And Jacob, the homeboy, is preparing some food. He's fixing what it's called, depending on the translation, I believe one says red stew or lentil stew, which is similar to beans and so forth. And so Esau says to Jacob, "Give me some of that red stew you're preparing." And Jacob, always the sharp one, Jacob says, "Sell me your birthright and you can have some of this stew." And now it shows how profane. See, Esau didn't place the proper emphasis on the spiritual, the birthright. And he says, "Well, what good is this birthright going to do me if I die of hunger? Sure, you can have the birthright." And Jacob said, "Swear to me." He swore to it. He gave him some of that. And then his name was changed from Esau to Edom. Because Edom means red. Because he ate, and by the way, his descendants are called the Edomites, the Reds. And because he ate of the red lentil stew that it was given. And then you come over to Genesis chapter 27. And Isaac is an old man. We don't know exactly how, but he thinks he can die any time. And he's blind. And so he calls his son Esau, whom he loves. And he says, "You go out to the field and get some of that game and prepare it the way I love it, that savory food that I love to eat, so that my soul can bless you before I die." Listen to me carefully, please. Jacob sinned. Excuse me. Yeah, Jacob did. Isaac sinned. He was trying to pass the blessing on to his elder son Esau. God had already told him. God had already revealed directly to Rebekah, "The elder shall serve the younger." What Isaac did was a sin. He did not want to accept what God said. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He loved the older boy the most. He wanted to enforce his will on God. But by the way, he was not able to do that, and he found out that. Everybody in this story, in Genesis, this is not one of the more savory stories, but it's an accurate story, I have no doubt, of the Old Testament. Everyone in this story sinned. Esau sinned by going along with what his father wanted to do. But we've just touched the tip of the iceberg as far as the sins in Genesis chapter 27. Rebekah was listening to what her husband Isaac has said, and she decides to deceive her husband. Now, she's right as far as who received the blessing. She was wrong in the way she went about doing it. She should have just gone to Isaac and said, "Now, Isaac, you know what God said. Why are you doing that? You're rebelling against God. You should not be doing this." She should have gone to him directly and talked to him about it. But instead, she deceived him. She called her son Jacob and she said, "Now, your father's about to give the blessing to Esau." Now, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but you can read this, Genesis 27. So you go get me a kid of the goats. And you bring that kid of the goats to me, and I'll prepare the kind of savory food. Don't you know she was a wonderful cook to take a goat and make it taste like game? And so bring this kid of the goats to me, and I'm going to prepare the savory food that your father loves. And you take it into him, and you lie to him. She didn't use the word lie, but this is what it was. You lie to him and you tell him you're Esau, so you'll receive the blessing. Now, Jacob was supposed to receive the blessing. That's the wrong way to go about it. But Jacob was not a dummy himself. He said, but suppose that I go into my father and he feels of me and I'm smooth-skinned and Esau's hairy-skinned and he'll know it's not me. It's not Esau. And she said, you just go ahead and do what I said and your curse be on me. And so he went and he got the kid of the goats and he prepared that. And she took the skin of the kid of the goats and she put it on the back of his hands. And you put it on the back of his neck. So he, don't you know Esau was a hairy man indeed? And so he'd feel like Esau. And she took some of Esau's good clothing and put it on him so he'd smell like Esau, smell like a man of the field. And now you take this in. And he went in before his father Jacob and his father Isaac. And Jacob said, here's this game. I've been out. And now, Jacob, this is the lowest, to me, the lowest of all of this story. Jacob lied in the name of the Lord. He says, who is that? He says, I'm Esau, your son. How did you get the game so quickly? The Lord your God brought it to me. He lied in the name of the Lord. You can't get any lower than that. And he took that in before, and Isaac felt of him. He said, well, it feels like Esau, but it sounds like Jacob. And he trusted his feelings. Great lesson there. And he went ahead and he ate of the game, ate of the savory food, and he gave the blessing to Jacob, thinking he was blessing Esau. And he said, you rule over your brothers. He gave the blessing to Jacob, just as God had intended. But he thought he was giving it to Esau. And then Esau came in. You remember the story? Jacob barely made it out. And Esau came in and he had the food and he said, I've come with the food as you wanted, Father. And he says, who are you? I'm your son Esau. Well, who was that that just came and then I blessed him? And Esau was beside himself. Why, he has deceived me. He has stolen my blessing after already stolen my birthright. No, you sold your birthright, friend. He didn't steal it from you. But he's stolen my blessing now. No, the blessing didn't belong. He sinned also. He should have been going along with his father on that. Everybody in that story sins. But now, I believe you come to the key. Now, when his plan was frustrated, finally, Isaac realizes, when it dawns on him, I've given the blessing to Jacob. It said Isaac trembled. Read there in Genesis chapter 28, verses 30 through 33. Isaac trembled. He realized that has been God's will all along, that the elder would serve the younger. And now God's will is fulfilled, even though I was trying to violate His will. He trembled. And he said, your brother's come and taken the blessing. And Esau pleaded, bless me, even me also, my father. Do you only have one blessing? I've blessed your brother. And notice carefully. And he shall be blessed. Why? Because that was God's will. He now, that was God's will all along, that Jacob would receive the blessing. Now, he gave a blessing to Esau. It was a different blessing. He still made Jacob the ruler over his brother Esau, that is, their descendants. And by the way, later on, when Rebekah didn't want Jacob to take a wife from the daughters of the land, because the daughters of Heth, the Hittite women, were driving her crazy that Esau had married, then Isaac, recalled Jacob to himself and sent him back to Padan-Aram to Bethuel. And he gave him the blessing again, and this time it was specifically the land which God promised to Abraham. Specifically now, Isaac passes on the Abrahamic promise to Jacob. Isaac had to learn that he did not have the right to change God's will to fit his will. He had to just take God at his word. And when he learned that, then he blessed the boys in the way that God had intended for them to be blessed. Now, let's draw some lessons concerning saving faith. Now, there's the primary lesson concerning the blessing, but I believe there's some other lessons that we need to see also. Saving faith takes our problems to God in prayer and trusts God to answer those prayers. That's a great, great lesson concerning saving faith. They had been 20 years without a child. The fulfillment of the Abraham... Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. The fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise depended upon a child being born. Isaac took that problem to God in prayer. He pleaded to God for his wife Rebekah. And Rebekah conceived and the twins were born. The Abrahamic promise was fulfilled. We need to learn to take our problems to God in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, and many other passages we could give. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We must remember to take our problems to God in prayer, and as the song says, to leave it there. God is able to hear and to answer our prayers. He will do what is best for us so far as our soul salvation. We need to learn to believe God's promises. There are people today that want to change the promises of God. What has God promised us? Titus chapter 1 verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before time began. The promise of God for those who are faithful to Jesus Christ is eternal life. Peter's more specific about that in 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. Notice carefully now, please. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. The hope that we have, the promise that God has given to us, is eternal life in heaven. And that's the only hope that we have. There is no other hope. We must not change it. I don't know why anybody would want to change it, but apparently a lot of people do. That's the only hope we as Christians have. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling. There's not two, there's not three, there's just one hope. One thing that we desire and expect to receive as the result of faithfully serving Jesus Christ, and that's eternal life in heaven. Why is it that people are trying to set up for Christ a future kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years? Why is it that people are looking for future blessings on this earth when God has only given us one hope, and that's eternal life in heaven? Isaac had to learn, don't try to change God's promises. Just take God at His word. And we have to learn, don't try to change God's promises. Just receive, believe the promise that God has given us. Eternal life in heaven for those who are faithful to Him. Faith accepts what God says. And that's what Isaac had to learn, was simply to take God at His word. Don't try to change what God says. How many times have you heard people say, well, I know the Bible says, but I think. Listen carefully. When you say, I know the Bible says, you better stop right there. When you use that word, but, you've said one too many words. If you know what the Bible says, there's nothing more to be said. That settles it. I've talked about that sign I saw in a church marquee many years ago. It said, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. And I thought that was good until I thought about it more. It's not good. The Bible said it, that settles it. I'd better believe it. But whether I believe it or not, If the Bible says it, that settles it. Just take God at His word. And finally, we need to learn to speak as God directs. Not the way we want to speak. Not things that sound good to us. But just to speak. That's what Isaac had to learn. He had to learn that the blessing went to the younger, that the older was to serve the younger, and he was not had did not have the right to change that in any way. Just speak what God says. When he learned that, he learned to give the blessing by faith. We need to have that same faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we read, "And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." Speak as we believe. Well, how do we believe? Well, I should have put this passage. You can write this into your outline. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if I speak as I believe, I speak what the word of God says. Or as Peter says it in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever." If I want to talk to people about their soul salvation, if I want to talk to people about the things of God, I'd better be able to put my finger on the verse that teaches it. Speak as the oracles of God. If I don't have book, chapter, and verse, just hush about it until I can find the book, chapter, and verse that settles the matter. And that's all that we look for. What does the Word of God say? Now that is how Isaac is an example to us of saving faith. And so the question is, do I have that kind of saving faith that Isaac had? When Isaac finally learned just to take God at His Word, to speak what God says, to believe what God says, and not to go beyond what God says, then Isaac learned, and to accept God's promises, not try to change it to the promise that I want to have, just what God said about the matter. Our song of invitation and encouragement is number 307.